What am I going to do? I can choose to believe. I can choose to believe that the Spirit of the Lord has quickened this particular verse, or maybe this particular phrase, but you know it's from God. You know it's from God. You can choose to believe. You have to choose to believe, in fact. How do you do that? How can I choose to believe? Well, I can start thanking God for His Word, for His promises, for His willingness to speak to me. I can start thanking God for the goodness of His heart towards me. I begin to let myself get excited by the Word. Get excited by the Word. Start to speak about this promise. Speak about it. Thank God for the Word. Thank God. Thank you, Lord, that your Word is coming alive inside of me. Thank God that the Word is a living Word. It's a living Word. It's living Word. It's a living Word. And then, when that Word has been energized inside of me, I begin to speak. I speak that Word over my very, very dry bones. My dry situation. My circumstances. But at the same time, and here often is where we can get sidetracked, is I have to speak as well and water my hard ground. Because typically, a promise that we've had for some time that's gone dry, the ground has become hard. The ground has become hard. And in the hardness of that ground, it's very difficult to plant a seed of life. Very difficult. So we begin to water the hard ground. How do we water the hard ground? How do we do that? How would you water your hard ground? Well, there's waiting on the Lord for some wisdom for the particular areas that may be hardened. But watering the ground's done with praises to Jesus. Praise to God, thanking God, blessing God, speaking His Word, believing His Word. I believe your Word is working in me right now, Lord. I believe that my heart is softening to the Holy Spirit. I believe that the voice of the Holy Spirit is communicating to me. Well, they're just words. Yes, but you know what? How did God create the world we live in? Words, just words. The words that we speak have remarkable power. God, in fact, as we read here, well, we'll get to it in due course, but how was He changing the dry bones? Speaking, by speaking. And say, I'm telling my mountain, whatever that mountain may be, you're going to start moving. You're going to, how do I tell the mountain? What did Jesus say in Mark 11 about the mountain? He said, tell God all about it and He'll move it. Amen? No. No, that's what we do. That's not how it works. Telling God about the mountain won't do anything for us. Jesus didn't say that. In fact, let's read it because we obviously need it. So, Mark 11. Verse 22, Jesus said, have the faith of God. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to his mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and doesn't doubt in his heart, but believes that those things that he says will be done, he will have whatsoever he says. Who speaks to the mountain? We do. We do. We speak to the mountain. Not God. We do. What do we say to the mountain? Boy, you're so big, I don't think it's ever going to change. It's always been like this. Always. What's that going to do? Make the mountain bigger. We begin to speak to the mountain and say, you're not staying here. You are not staying here. You're not. You're going to move. This mountain is moving. This mountain is moving.
Amen.
This mountain is moving. I am speaking to the mountain. And I'm telling you, you're going to have to obey the Word of God. You're going to have to obey the Word of God. You have to obey the Word of God. You're going to have to obey. Now, am I on my own with this? No. No. In fact, if we go to Psalm 103, verse 20. Everybody there? Bless the Lord, you, his angels, who excel in strength, who do his word, heeding the voice of his word. Now, you know what? This is written so particularly. They do his word, and whose voice are they heeding? Whose voice are they heeding?
Holy.
Not necessarily. Whose voice are they heeding?
The
word. Whoever is speaking the word. They are heeding the voice of the person who is speaking the word. That's what they are. You got the angels. See, if you speak the word, you bring the angels in on it. But if you don't speak the word, they don't have to do anything. They don't have to. And they typically don't. Angels obey the voice of the word. Angels are commanded to respond and to obey to the spoken word. In Daniel chapter 10, what happened? Daniel's praying, and the angel shows up after 21 days and says to him, I finally have a moment for you. What do you want? Is that what he said? What did he say?
The instant Daniel spoke, the angel left.
God sent the angel as soon as he spoke. What happened?
Resistance.
Warfare. See, that's what we need to learn. You may say all the right things, but if it doesn't happen instantly, it's not because you said the wrong things. You're at war. War has been declared upon you and upon your prayer life. And if you don't learn to deal with war and the opposition that comes from that and stay steadfast in it, you won't get your answer. There's war. Your prayers will be resisted by the enemy. They'll be resisted. He doesn't want you to get your prayers answered. He doesn't want your prayers to be answered. And he'll do whatever he can to stop it. He'll do whatever he can to stop it. How long did it take for this answer to get through to Daniel? 21 days, 3 weeks. What if Daniel had stopped praying after 20 days? How many days do we stop praying after? You know, I don't know this, of course, but I would imagine that there are times when your answer to your prayer is just about to come through the door and we quit. And we think, well, God doesn't care. God doesn't care. But he sent his answer immediately. Immediately.
Thank you, Lord. That's a good lesson for us, if you don't mind saying that. It's a good lesson for us to realize that I think our mindset, or for many people anyway, the mindset is, you know, give up because I have seem to be able to connect with God, or he's not hearing me, or I have been able to convince him to do it. Instead of realizing the enemy We don't even think about it sometimes. We don't even think about the enemy resisting our prayer. Where if we focus on what you just said, resist him.
Mm-hmm.
We have victory together.
Amen. So then in Ezekiel 37, he has said, prophesy, speak to the bones, speak to them under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And then he tells what he's going to do in verse 5. Thus says the Lord to these bones, behold, I will cause breath and spirit to enter you, and you shall live, and I will lay sinews upon you, and bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and I will put breath and spirit in you, and you bones shall live. So what's he doing here? He's telling him what to pray. Not just to pray. He didn't just say prophesy. He's telling him what to prophesy. And that's so important. So important. When we speak, we need to speak the right words. We need to speak the words that have been inspired and energized by God. By God. Tell the dead bones, tell the lost dreams, tell the forgotten promises that the power of God is about to cause life to come back into them. That God is raising them up from the dead as you speak. Tell your situation that the power of God is now causing life to come back into it. That the power of God is being released into your body, into your circumstance. God's power. God's power. You're calling those things that be not as though they were. Now, it's the same principle that's found in, I think it's Mark. Mark chapter 4. What do I mean by the same principle? Well, it's really important to understand. Sometimes we think because it's God, we should be able to just go bippity-boppity-boo. And of course, it doesn't work that way, and then we get discouraged and wonder why God didn't bippity boppity boo. So, in Mark chapter 4, verse 28. For the earth yields crop by itself, first the blade, then the head, and after that the full grain on the head. What does that mean? What does that mean? What's he trying to tell us there?
Process.
There's a process. A baby doesn't come out at 120 pounds, fully whatever. And every mother says, thank God. Do you understand? There's a process. There's a process. And in that process, it's step by step. First the blade, so he's going to put sinews, you know. Then the head is making the flesh grow back, covering them with skin. And then the mature grain and the head, breath is coming into it. It's a step-by-step process here going on. Step-by-step, step-by-step. First the thought, the promise of the word, the promise of the word. The promise of the Word of God. God's Word is the promise. And as you meditate and get inspired through this promise, it moves to an attitude of joy and victory. Thank God it's going to work. Thank you, Lord. Thank God your Word is going to produce this miracle. Thank God. Then it becomes a stronghold in your spirit and in your soul. Faith is coming into your spirit. Faith is rising up inside of you. And it doesn't always happen overnight. In fact, it rarely happens overnight. The promises of God are inherited through faith and
patience.
Patience. It takes time. It takes time. It takes time. Verse 7 here in Ezekiel, it says, and so I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, not before, but as I prophesied, there was a thundering noise, and behold, a shaking and trembling and a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to its bone. See, that's you're speaking out of obedience without seeing any results, any immediate results. You're calling those things that be not as though they were. Jesus often did that in his ministry. Calling those things to be not as though they were. The noise didn't start until he spoke the word. Nothing happened until he spoke the word. And initially, there's just this small rattling. The old dry bones are being stirred up by the inspired word of God being spoken. So at first, there's a kind of a limited response. That's step one in the process of bringing God's power and his life into your situation. It's a process. And verse 8, "And I looked, and behold, there were sinews upon the bones, and flesh came upon them, and skin covered them over, but there was no breath or spirit in them." You know what's happening here? The mountain's beginning to move. Your mountain is beginning to move. It's not done yet, but the mountain's moving. The mountain is moving. The process has started. The process has started. Your faith is starting to work, so don't stop now. Don't stop now. Don't stop now. The mountain's beginning to move. It's beginning to move. Verse 9. "And he said to me, prophesy to the breath and spirit, son of man, and say to the breath and spirit, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath and spirit, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live." See, the right words are needed at the right moment. It's not a time to generalize. You have to hear the specifics coming from the Holy Spirit to your spirit. Because the Holy Spirit will speak to your spirit, and he will lead you into the right words for this moment in time. Many times there were specific words and scripture that had to be spoken when I was praying for people. Very specific. It's not mean that the Word of God isn't good generally, but it has to be specific at times. Verse 10. "And so I prophesied as he commanded me, as I was led by the Lord. And the breath and spirit came into the bones, and they lived and stood up upon their feet, an exceedingly great host." Hallelujah. I obeyed the leading of the Holy Spirit. I obeyed. And you see the response to the sustained pressure of speaking the word of God while being led of the Holy Spirit over the circumstances and to the mountain in your life. God's made us a promise in Isaiah 55:11, and that promise is that his word will not come back void. It will not come back void. God's word will never fail when it is spoken through the inspired faith of the Holy Spirit. So how do we get to that? We soak in it. As Frederick said earlier, we soak in it. We soak in it. It will not become part of us until we soak in it. And we have an intimate relationship with God. so that he can speak to us, and not just speak to us about victories that we want to have in our lives, but speak to us about areas that need to be corrected. About every area. You know, we would like God just to speak to us about victory, but he wants to speak to us about everything. But if we'll hear him, if we will hear the voice of the Holy Spirit, we can turn circumstances around. We can turn circumstances. The mountain will move. The mountain will move. The mountain will move. I think this passage of Scripture is so applicable for today, for us, for the things that we face. Especially for the areas that have gone dead. But only God can energize them. And it's only as we move into that intimacy with God, an openness with God, that new life will come. New life will come. Amen? So why don't we just take a few moments now, and let this word work in us. Just work in us. And what do I mean by that? I mean, just talk to God. Talk to God. Get up, walk around, stand where you are, sit, kneel, do whatever makes you most comfortable in talking to God. Let the Holy Spirit speak clearly to you. Is there anyone in here that doesn't have a question for God? We all do. Don't we? Then we need to ask him. So let's do that. Just take a few moments. Ask God specifically for your situation, for what you're facing, for the things that are important to you. Ask him. Lord, just help me to understand. Help me, Lord. Help me to understand the things that I'm facing. Give me wisdom, Holy Spirit. Speak to me if there's areas where I'm blocking it. And help me to see them, Lord. Help me to see them and help me to have the courage to deal with them. Help me, Lord. I pray for the wisdom of God to enter my heart. I pray for your grace. The grace of the Lord. Go ahead, and you can get up, stand up, move around if you like. You know, it's okay. Just thank you, Jesus, for doing this in me, doing it in me. Holy Spirit, open my spirit to your spirit, that I can hear what you're saying. Lord, I repent of all the times that I have grieved the Holy Spirit. And I want to change that, Lord. I want to change that. I want to have a spirit that is sensitive to your spirit, O Lord. So help me. You know, the mercy of God is new every morning, and the blood of Jesus can wash any sin away. Any sin. That's the wonderful thing. If you are truly, truly repentant, then the blood of Jesus will wash that sin away. That's the wonderful thing about God. He is a gracious, gracious, merciful person. And so we bless you this morning. Oh, Jesus, we bless you, we honor you, and we need you, oh God. We need you. You know, for some of us, we just have hard ground. We have hard ground. It's been hardened over the years through painful circumstances, through situations that where we're unfairly treated, we feel. Also, just things that we feel like, God, that wasn't a fair deal for me. But you know what? Those things have to be surrendered. They just have to be surrendered. Lord, I repent of my bad attitudes. And I ask you, Father, water the hard ground in me. Expose the hard ground and help me to water it. I want to hear God. I want to hear God. I think for many people, that's the number one hindrance, is the ground has gone hard. And so we really need to water it and say to Jesus, I'm sorry. God, I'm sorry. I repent to you, Father. I repent for the hard ground in my heart. I repent for the attitudes of self-righteousness and pride that have come in and blocked me from seeing the truth. And I'm asking you, Heavenly Father, help me. Help me to water this ground, that my heart can become soft before heaven, before Jesus. And that you would speak to me, Jesus. Speak to me, Jesus. Speak to my heart. Speak to my heart.